Blog Talk Radio.
To get a little intro for this next artist. Oh my God, I'm so excited to have singer, songwriter, producer, composer, Miss Sherry Brown. Sherry!
Hey, everybody! Hey,
Jay. Hey, what's going on? You know I have to open up
you
the
all
show
are going
that.
On. Yeah, I love that song. One of my favorite songs on my first album.
Mm-hmm. And so with your first album, oh my God, I mean, I could go on and on with that first album. And I mean, the first album was, you know, that was actually the first single, right, from the album?
In different formats. I think in Europe and in the UK, they played that. The first one was called You'll Be Dancing All Night. That was actually the first official single.
Are you serious?
But, yeah, that was the first single, but that happened more in the States. It's a Pleasure really took off in the UK, Japan, and some of the other countries outside of ours. And it was late on the freight to catch on here in the States. It finally did, but I love that song. I love all my songs. What can I say?
Right, you wrote them and you produced them. Of course you're going to love them.
I have to give some credit because on the first album, the first Capitol album, Straight Ahead, Richard Rudolph, who was married to the late Minnie Riperton, produced my first album. Of course, I production assistants along with a mentor of mine, Alexander Thomas, and then the second one was Andre Fisher.
So. I mean that was a good album. Like the second album took me through a frenzy. I mean, every song on there, my favorite on there is Can't Live Without Love. I mean, the lyric content.
It's what? Which one?
It was, Can't Live Without Love.
Yes, yes.
And the part when you opened up, when you said, if you could see my heart right now, you see a smile. Oh, my God. That's like, wow. Now, when you open up with that, and then when the instrumentation falls into it, because I love your acoustics, like in your songs.
Yes.
I mean,
thank you.
Your albums to me bring a calm, cool, serene around my surroundings because of the lyric content that you say. And, you know, people don't understand how valuable you are in this genre of soul music, because you wrote some hits for some particular people, co-wrote. Yes. And people are mouths are about to drop. And one of them is one of my favorite artists, Patrice Rushen. I love that one.
Yes.
And you wrote Haven't You Heard with her.
Yes.
And
two other writers, Charles Mims and Ready Freddie Washington, the bass player. The four of us worked on that together.
Wow. And also, Settle for My Love, right? Settle for My Love?
Yes, yes.
Oh, my God.
Settle for My Love. Let's see. Watch Out. Look Up. Music of the Earth. Didn't You Know?
Oh.
You know, sometimes I have to, I co-wrote Didn't You Know.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I love
you. You talking about with Donna Washington?
No, I'm talking about the one that Patrice recorded.
Didn't You Know? Oh, yeah, okay.
Yes.
Because I'm getting mixed up with Donna Washington because she had a song with that title in it, and Patrice actually worked on that. So I thought it was some kind of affiliation with you guys with that, too, so. Yeah, because it kind of gave me the same element of that song. So,
yeah,
that's why I said that. And then you wrote with wrote for Syreeta Wright, actually, on her,
yes.
I believe it was her fourth album.
Yes.
The fourth album. Yes. Yeah,
Dance for Me Children. Yeah, Dance for Me Children.
Uh-huh. Oh, I love that song. I need somebody
Dance
to read
for me children. Yes. Isn't it great? It's all right. Everything is all right.
Yeah.
Because you know what? On that album, every song, with the exception of maybe one or two, Syreeta and I did all the background for every song. We just stacked it.
Are you serious?
It was
wow. So
much fun. Oh, my gosh. You know, she did the arrangements, of course. And then we went into the studio. It was just she and myself. It was so much fun. We did all the harmonies. And, you know, even today's, it's somebody was, there's a song. Oh, Bill Withers, she did a Bill Withers cover.
Oh, yeah, Let Me Be the One.
Let Me Be the One. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And she and I did all the backgrounds on that.
Are you serious? Oh,
mm-hmm.
my God. Those amazing background vocals were so late on that. Like, I mean, with the part saying, let me be the one. I'm like, okay.
Yes.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yes. So
yes, you know,
that was a good album. It was very polished, but, of course, it wasn't marketed right. But
yeah,
it was an all-star album to me. It had some good writers, arrangers, composers through the whole project. And so with these two albums coming out from Capitol, what was the strategy as marketing the singles then to bring them out as singles?
They would decide, the R&B department would decide which song they thought would be the strongest to release as a single. So they would release the single first. And
mm-hmm.
then they would decide on what the second and third single would be to release down the line. Now, the first album was real interesting because what happened, they released the single.
Mm.
And it was a year after, the album came out a year after Minnie Riperton passed. And then Richard Rudolph produced it. So Minnie was such an inspiration to me in my music and singing, but I never had the opportunity and blessing to meet her. But I was able to meet, to be in her home because, I'd have meetings and, with Richard Rudolph, and I was able to meet her children. I met Maya Rudolph when she was about seven, you know.
Oh, wow.
And then Mark, her brother, who's older than her. And so what had happened is when I was going on my promotional tours throughout the United States, and so I was going from city to city and making these stops at radio stations and record stores, good old record stores back then,
mm-hmm.
and some of the clubs doing some lip syncing and signing of autographs. And one of the promotional folks was telling me, they said, well, you know, actually Capitol got caught with they got caught off guard. And
oh, wow.
Because they didn't expect it to do as well.
Right.
And so when it took off, the albums were not available.
Oh,
because they
wow.
didn't know what's gonna, you know, it was going to take off so quickly, or there weren't enough albums that were available. So that was something that, you know, back then, if you go to a record store, your first choice isn't there, then you go and get your second choice. A lot of times people don't go back. So,
exactly.
You know, that was kind of a negative, but it was also, you know, a very positive thing at the same time because it was doing so well. And my
mm-hmm.
biggest market at the time was Chicago. And I attribute that to the fact that, you know, Minnie was from Chicago and Richard Rudolph, and, you know, the roots were back there. But there was a big, she was one of the artists that influenced me. I have to give her credit for that. You know, there are three that influenced me, that inspired me, and
mm-hmm.
Stevie's one of them, and
mm-hmm.
Dionne Warwick is the other one. She, you know, of course, she came along first because when I was younger,
right?
You know, she was out there, before, you know, doing her thing before Minnie and big time before Stevie. Although Stevie's been out there, so.
Mm-hmm.
And then Stevie played the harmonica on one of the songs on my second album.
Yes, he did. He played on
my God.
On My Home. Yeah.
On My Way Home, that's right.
On My Way Home. Mm-hmm.
And it's so it's so funny because I was a fairly still a newlywed, and my husband and I lived in San Diego at the time, and I'd go back and forth to do my album here in L.A. So I moved to San Diego to be, you know, to be with him, and so we could be together, and then I would stay with one of my brothers and his family, and then I would go home on the weekends. But sometimes if we finished midweek working on one of the songs, I would drive from L.A. to San Diego, and so that's how that song came up. On My
Wow.
Way Home to You. I thought about it one day when I was driving from L.A. to San Diego.
And it's a beautiful closing, too, of the album. It's a beautiful closing.
Yes, yes. And then, you know, mm-hmm. when Stevie, you know, because, oh, my gosh, because of the inspiration for Stevie, to have Stevie come in and do a harmonica solo was like, I just was in heaven. And people were like, well, Stevie came in, and he did one take, and he said, what do you think about that? What? Oh, it's awesome. What do you mean? Then he said, okay, I'm going to do it. Well, what do you think about that one? What do you mean? So I had a hard time. We had a hard time deciding which take we were going to use. It was like both of them were perfect to me. So that was
right.
a dream come true and a memory that, you know, will stay with me forever.
Yeah, and that's because I'm telling you, like, your albums are so polished. I mean, you work with the best in the business, you know,
yes.
along with Patrice. I mean,
yes.
And Sarita was on that album, too. Yeah, it was,
yes.
I mean, the whole element of the album. And my other cut from that second album was That's the Way to Be.
Yes,
I mean,
wow.
Yeah. Don't have me start singing. Yeah. And that's why I say I love the polishing of these albums, because you work with Andre Fisher, and you know Andre Fisher at the time, he was working with Brenda Russell's
yes.
solo, yeah, her debut solo. And then he had worked with Sylvia St. James. So, you know, you guys were getting that good element with him, like the strings, the instrumentation. You guys got the full Andre Fisher experience. And along with you working on it, too.
Yes,
you know?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I'm going to tell you about my demos, but since you mentioned Sylvia St. James, we're really good friends. We still keep in touch with each other.
I love that woman's music. Oh, my God. I could go on and on with her, too.
Well, I'll have to make a connection with you all. She'd love it.
Oh, man, because I'm two solo albums and one song from the album. Well, we're gonna talk about it later. We talked about
yes,
you. I'm telling
yes.
you that. But, like, this, the second album was, I love the album. I love the first one.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
the second one was more to me. Lyric content through everything I was going through in my life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, from love, this is what the album was about. Love, the music.
Yes.
So
mm-hmm.
it was just like,
the
wow.
music. That's right.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I got the concept of. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, and the other one I love was, oh my God. Got to Get Away. Oh my God.
Oh my God. Okay. So listen to this. So
mm-hmm.
I spent years working on demos, right?
Mm-hmm.
I spent 7 years going back and forth into the studio working on demos. And some of my demos, my first demo was Patrice Rushen, James Brown's Horny Horn. Alexander Thomas, who was with Earth, Wind & Fire and was my mentor, and he gave some production assistance for both my albums. And Ricky Lawson, the late Ricky Lawson, Abraham Laborio, Paulina Da Costa. These were kind of people that were on my demo.
Wow.
And so what
That's
I
an
did
album.
Is, oh my gosh. And so what I would do is, when it was time for me to do my, when I got signed with Capitol Records, I had enough material demoed for 2 hours. And a good friend of mine, that's terrible that I can't. he's like my, I'm like, oh gosh, he must be talking about me, right? Jim Gilstrap, like my big brother, right? Jim,
yeah.
I'm sorry, Jim. But Jim, in fact, Jim, I met Jim through Sarita.
Oh, wow.
And so that's how far back I've known Jim. So we're still friends. I mean, he really is like my big brother. And
mm-hmm.
so he helped me demo a number of my songs. He had a recording.
Wow.
And mm-hmm. and so when it was time to do the albums, like my first album, it was great working. It was really good working with both producers. And one of the things about Richard Rudolph is that, you know, he would listen to the demos. And the thing, it was so organic because all the musicians, we'd all be together and I'd be, you know, playing with them. I'd be in a vocal booth playing my guitar and singing while the musicians
uh-huh.
were playing live. And so what would happen is, you know, we'd have the charts done. Alexander Thomas did all the charts. And so they'd all have charts. But then what Richard would do is he'd play my cassette of the demo. So
oh,
they
wow.
kind of got a vibe of what, you know, I had already developed. And then, you know, Richard would just let us loose and then, you know, stop and give direction. Of course, working with us to bring the right cast together, musicians
right.
together, Jerry Hay and his horn players. Patrice did strings on a few songs. It was just magical, you know. It was magical. So that's what that's how it all came about. And it was great to have that map, that guideline, the guide
right.
to work from. It was fun. It was so much fun.
And then, during that around that time, after you released some two solo albums, doing like a lot of behind the scenes stuff, you know. And then you came out with another CD, which I love
mm-hmm.
too. Was called
which
Messages
one?
From the. I think it's called Messages from the Heart.
Yeah.
That album. And was that around the time where they reissued both of your albums into the 2-in-1
yes.
package? Uh huh.
Yes.
Yeah.
Through Expansion Records, you know, out of the UK,
mm-hmm.
and then the CD Messages from the Heart, and that was done as a preview to Messages from the Heart project that I was working on. It's the book, a book of
mm-hmm.
True stories from women who overcame challenges, you know, challenges through hope and, you know, faith. And so a song was dedicated to each woman in their story. A piece of art was dedicated to each woman in their story. And of course, the story was there. And then the preface of the book was semi-autobiographical. So there's a lot that I talk about. And then I introduce
mm-hmm.
each writer and why I chose each song. And I had the great blessing of working with the late Leon Ware. He did the cover song, Messages from the Heart.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, that, you know, you can go on my website and, you know, you can get that, the book, you get through on my website. And then you can, there's a link that you can get the album through iTunes, you know, from Expansion.
Yeah, because the song that I like up there was Just a Simple Love. That's
oh,
on there?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I love that song. Oh, my God.
Well, you know what?
I love it.
Okay, so that song was Greg Perret and I co-wrote that song.
Oh,
and we
wow.
wrote that song in 1978.
Wow.
79. And so when I was working on this the Expansion album,
uh-huh.
I remembered the song. And you know, we recorded it. I recorded and produced it as a slightly different arrangement than what was originally done. But, you know, music is music. Music, good music is timeless. I really believe that, you know. I was
oh,
taught
yeah, definitely.
That by some
definitely.
Of the best. Mm-hmm. What kind of music is that? There's two kind of music, good and bad.
Right.
And I try to work on the good, okay? Make my
good. And you always worked on the good, what I heard. I mean, like I said, some two solo albums and the last project, Message from the Heart, very solid projects. And so now we're about to get into a new project that I am completely excited about, Message from the Spirit, the Collective.
That's been a long time in the works, and it's really interesting that we'd be getting ready to release the album now with all the things that are going on in the world.
Right.
And the single, we have not actively promoted the single. It was released on this past Valentine's Day, February of 2020.
Yeah, it sure was.
And, and Patrice Rushen and I co-wrote the song. And what had happened, I think in about 2014, I started posting I Choose Love. So, you know, I credit myself, you know, to be a positive person. I try to be as positive as possible even in the midst of things that are not as positive. And so there's just been so many negative things going on. So every time I get infuriated, I would say, I choose love. I'm just going to shoot you with some love, right? And so I was talking to Patrice in, what was it, 2016, I think, or 2017. I said, Patrice, you know, let's write this song. You know, I said, I've been talking about I Choose Love for all this time. Let's just write this song. Let it be a classic, something that people would just love. And so, you know, we were hanging out at her house in the studio, and she just started playing the piano. Started playing. It was like, whoa. And I think we did it in about an hour. You know, I came up with the hook, and I finished working on the lyrics later. But it was just that magical how quickly it, you know, we were able to do that. And so we actually recorded it. I recorded it in 2018 and just had it on the shelf waiting. And that's 2018. As I think about it, it's like, whoa, 2018. And so we, you know, I decided, okay, let's let this be the first single for this album, because this album is all about love. It really is, you know. That's what we need more of, and this song, you know, is so much of that. And so I teamed up with an internationally acclaimed visual artist named Charles Biggs. And we worked for a year together on concepts, you know, for, you know, the album, going back and forth and what he saw visually. And I asked him if he would do the album cover. And so the album cover is done. It's a Charles Bibbs original piece. And it inspired some of the songs that are on the album, as did some of the songs inspire what he did artistically. So to me, this is such a major, major project. And so what's great about this project is that it's a lot of new artists, unknown new artists, independent artists coming up, and a number of my seasoned friends and colleagues. So Patrice Rushen, Jim Gilson, jazz singer Dwight Tribble is featured on one of the songs.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Alexander Thomas and I co-wrote a song, started writing a song back in, and he used to be with Earth, Wind & Fire, and started writing a song back in 1978, and we finished it for this project. And I do it as a duet. So what's happening, this is the follow-up from the first book. And these stories, it's going to be the same format, and the stories that have been collected for this project are true stories again. But this time it's from young adult women. And thing that's really unique about this project is that some of the young women who are telling their story are featured on the songs that are dedicated to their story. And so there's featured artists, and some of us are doing duets. And I'm working with a young man, Marcus Paul, who worked on Anderson .Paak's album, and has done a number of works with Dr. Dre, has done a number of things. There's another young man named John Redwine. John Redwine wrote and co-produced a couple of number one hits, one being Chris Brown and one for Zendaya. And
yeah.
So he actually did a remix of this new single that is we're going to drop later. He's going to drop later as a separate single. So, you know, it's just Brian Hargrove, who, you know, he's on there featured on some things. The late Roy Hargrove is his older brother. And Brian
right.
worked on Solange's album, been on tour with her. It's just, you know, my daughter's involved, my son. I have two nieces and a nephew involved.
Wow. It's a family thing.
It really is a family thing. And we're going to do a series of music videos. But we are almost finished with the music video for I Choose Love.
Oh, wow.
It was directed and co-produced by Lance Mitchell.
Right.
Who has worked on a lot of projects, including John Singleton and, you know, some BET shows and, he's pretty well known in that, you know, arena. So, you know, it's produced in association with myself and a partner named Brenda Hewitt and our production company. She and my production company is called Mustard Seed. And, and we're doing it in association with Lance Mitchell and his production company and his group.
Wow. And so now the single we're about to get into is called It's All About Love. So I'm looking forward to that. So can you introduce it to everybody?
Now, you know what? It's All About Love. It's All About Love is actually one of the, you're getting, that's a preview of one of the songs from the album. I Choose Love is the single.
Exactly. And so we're getting an exclusive here on Soul Prayers Radio. And I appreciate you for previewing this on the radio station. You know?
So then this is, it's all about love, right?
Yes.
Okay. So let me tell you a little bit about that. So this is a song that I wrote and it's featuring, at the end of the song, it's featuring the jazz vocalist Dwight Tribble. And also the piano solo is by Brian Hargrove, who I mentioned is, the late Roy Hargrove's younger brother. So this is one of the songs that's coming from the album. The album won't be out till summer, fall of 2020. And then I'll talk more about the single and how you can do that, because that's real. The single and the music video for that single is really, that's the one that Patrice and I co-wrote, but we'll talk about that. But this one is a sneak preview, truly.
Yes, we're getting a sneak preview, so we're not going to play. We're going to play like about 2 minutes of it.
Yeah.
And so this is exclusive, guys. It's All About Love from the up-and-coming album, Messages from the Spirit, the Collective.
Time to
I was all into it, man.
Thank you.
Wow.
I wrote that in an hour.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Oh,
that song,
wow.
It just came, and I think I was having a conversation at the time with Charles Bibbs, and so,
mm-hmm.
you know, his piece that we're using for the album cover is called Love Is.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I love that song. I really,
yeah.
The music on this album is, it's really something. And I'm listening to it myself now because,
mm-hmm.
you know, this crisis that we are in the world, it's pretty rough, you know, and, you know, I try, you know, I like to be up, but there's times when I'm not, you know, so I'm up here listening to my own music. And so music is healing. And we
yes.
should be listening to as much of it as we can right now. You know,
mm-hmm.
the whole dance thing even, you know, it's great to see some of the DJs that are out there, D-Nice and
mm-hmm.
Questlove and some DJs I've never heard of. They're out there spinning and playing music and
right.
Red Roof is doing some stuff. And it's nice, you know, it's really nice and it's needed. It's a distraction. But music is healing. It's very healing. We can say more in music than we can say with words.
Right. And so when I see this platform, you know, because, you know, you came in the times where everybody were going to record stores, you know, buying records at the local record stores, which they don't have anymore. And so,
right.
you know, we in the world of digital streaming and you being an independent artist, do you think that as an independent artist that you mainly are as happy of what you do as promoting it than a regular marketing machine promoting your music?
You're talking about right now compared to back
yeah.
when I was with Capitol?
Exactly.
Yeah. To me, there's pros and cons.
Mm-hmm.
When you're dealing with the major label, they have the monies to do
yes.
the big time marketing and promotion, but
mm-hmm.
then they have more control. And so
mm-hmm.
the thing about now is there's so much independent stuff that's getting out there that would not have gotten out there back then. And so
wow.
that is a plus. And that allows me to keep myself, my music alive. But if I was to say there's a con, there still is a certain marketing machine that has to go behind even the independent stuff. You know, you have to promote
right.
it online. You know, people think it's easy to do, but it's a full-time job. And then there are
mm-hmm.
companies that do that so that you're paying, you know, you're paying out of pocket to do that. Even when you're doing Facebook, you have to boost it, and that costs, you know. So you still have to have some finances behind the marketing or a machine that's built around manpower, you know what I'm saying? So
mm-hmm.
if you can surround yourself as a new artist with that takes away the control, it takes away the overhead cost. But it can be very time consuming and it costs also. But as a result of it, there's more music out there and there's more exposure to music that's out there.
Exactly. And, you know, me being a promoter also, you know, I'm an A&R for digital marketing for, you know,
mm-hmm.
artists. You know, it's
mm-hmm.
it's different. And you because, you know, social media plays a big platform of the artists of today because everybody wants to be more insightful of what the artist is doing on social
mm-hmm.
media, you know, and, you know, we use it for our advantages as artists, you know, to promote the music and, you know, have little video clips and stuff. Yeah. The boost is, you know, $10, you know, for, you know, boosting up your music and, you know, where people could get to it. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of work,
yeah.
but, you know, as an independent artist, you have that creative control because now you're seeing
yeah.
where everything is going to and where you visually can see everything that you want it to happen. And yeah. I say it's a good thing, but, you know, like where your error was, you had a marketing, and then I always said from day one that you should have been an independent artist, you know, because because of the marketing of your music. It's like you can't put your music in a genre. It's music.
Right. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And that's what I strive, like this new album, I would say, is very eclectic. There mm-hmm. are it's different. I think that there's music, I'm sure there's music that will relate to most folks and across the board. And mm-hmm. that's always my goal, and that is something that I was not able to do as an artist with a major label.
Right.
That I'm able to do now. Because one of the things that happened back then when I was with Capitol, and people say now, they're, you know, like when younger folks hear my music, they were like, whoa, that's Neil Soul. Whoa, that is, wow, that's new. And I'm like saying, no, that's 40 years old. And so, you know, when I came out, people were saying that I came, you know, that I was before my time.
Yes.
And I was with the label at a time when Capitol, you had, everything was specific. You had pop, you had rock, you had mm-hmm. R&B. And if you were a black artist, you were in R&B. And
mm-hmm.
some labels would cross you over and you'd get into another genre and you'd make another chart. But Capitol at that time was very genre specific.
Yes, they were.
And it was like even Maze, we were label mates, Maze. You know, people were like, well, why, you know, this, their music appeals to everybody. Why don't you cross them over? And you'd always hear the talk. You know, they're not
mm-hmm.
crossing them over. Maze became so successful, not just because of the music, but because of their massive touring that they did.
And the fan base of who buys their music.
Yes, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so, because you were like with Capitol, I mean, with the likes of, you know, because you came in when Natalie was in the tail end of leaving, and then you had like Donna Washington, which was one artist, and Dolores Hall was one of the people that was under Capitol, the McCrarys. It was a lot of good black music.
Yeah, because I was with Renee and Angela.
Mm-hmm.
Taste of Honey was there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were label mates. Taste of Honey. L.J. Reynolds and Dramatics were
exactly.
on there.
Exactly, yeah. Uh-huh. And
in
so
fact,
I did
a promotional tour in New York one time with L.J. when they released a solo album on him. Great, just a great person.
Oh, yeah, the album, I think it was called Traveling, I believe. Yeah.
I don't remember, but
good
people.
Yeah, because I'm serious. When you was in that label, they had a lot of black good artists out there, but it was just so crazy that the marketing strategy of it, they put you in that genre.
Yeah,
and
Bo Williams was on.
Uh huh. Oh yeah, Bo Williams. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What's her name? Melba Moore.
Yes. And Melba mm-hmm. Moore, you know, she's a sweetheart too, because I met Melba Moore in Chicago. And
mm-hmm.
when the Reverend Jesse Jackson used to do this push, his organization push, every year around Thanksgiving, he'd have this concert and the food giveaway. And there would be artists that would come and do this free concert. And that I met Melba Moore in the ladies' room. Because we were both guest artists in the concert.
Mm.
And, you know, telling her how much I admired her and her music. And I was a big fan. And we, you know, we actually, the following year, we were there again. And one time we were in England together at the same time. So we kind of hung out from what we both were doing, promotional tours. So that's the memory I forgot all about.
Oh my God! And see, I mean, you were in good company, but like I said, your music is just music. It wasn't like genre things. I mean, it was just you had every element, and that's what I love about, you know, your up and coming projects and the last one too, it was, I mean, inspiring. And it's so sad that we don't have that kind of substance for music no more. Yeah. Everything is trend. Everything sounds the same. Like back then with these artists from the 60s, 70s, 80s, and mid 90s, it was substance. They had something to talk about. Now it's right. Like, where is the feeling in music anymore? Like, talk about what I'm going through. I need something where if I feel it sad, I need to press play and put this song, particular song that I'm feeling in this mood. It's none of that.
Right.
And with right. your music, like I said, it has that substance.
Right.
I mean, it's right there.
There's also something else that, and you can see this on my website is www.realsherrybrownspelled R-E-A-L and then Sherry Brown,
mm-hmm.
S-H-E-R-E-E Brown, B-R-O-W-N.com. And
mm-hmm.
so my husband and I co-wrote a children's book called Jacanaka, The Word, with a friend of ours that used to be with Disney named Pichot Hunt, and he did all the illustrations. It's a huge, it's a large children's book.
And, oh, okay.
And the illustrations that Pichot did looks like Disney animation and illustrations. It's beautiful, but it's about
little
African-American girl who gets bullied at school and how her favorite teacher, Mr. Jesse, and, you know, he shows up and he's got dreads and just awesome, and he tells a story and takes her on a journey. And basically it's an uplifting story to help go through that point of bullying. And so, and it's not, and it's for all. We started out for 0 to 5 year olds, and now it's for all ages. You know, even adults love it. And it's called Jacanaka, The Word, and it's really
okay.
a beautiful piece. So, mm-hmm.
And you did a CD with it, right?
It's a DVD. Yeah, there's a CD, a separate CD, but the
uh-huh.
book has and the book has a DVD that comes with it. And
oh,
so I'm
wow.
doing a narration, and there's music and animation, and Patrice is playing with keyboards actually on one of the pieces.
Oh wow! Okay.
You know, in the music bed, you know, the soundtrack for it. It's only 10 minutes long, but it's really a nice piece. So. Yeah, you can go online and order that. You can go online and order Messages from the Heart. My website is up now. We've been working on upgrading it, updating it, and we're still doing that, but the site is up now.
Okay.
Thank you, Jay. Thanks to
you,
Jay. We got to hurry up and get this back up before I talk to
right.
Jay on Sunday.
No, but I see everything is working in favor for you. That's what I love about you, that you're still doing what you love. You
oh
know,
my God,
and
such a blessing.
Yeah, definitely. And also, I always ask my artists that I be on the radio, what would you tell someone that's trying to get into the music industry? What would you advise them?
I would tell them to be heard by as many people as possible,
more
mm-hmm. especially, as many places and to as many people as possible. But if you're doing original music, I also emphasize the importance of making sure that it's copyrighted. It's very easy to copyright a song. You go to the Library of Congress online. It could be done online. There's a fee. And, you know, you can get instructions on how to do it. You can even call them and find out how to do it so that you're protected. But get out there, because there really is no formula, in
mm-hmm.
my opinion. And in my experience, you know, I was not supposed to have been able to get out there and do what I do because of the competition. I was discouraged. My parents and my family supported me.
Mm-hmm.
That was really a big stronghold for me. But people outside of me, a lot of people outside of me, some professional were like, well, you're not going to do it. You know how hard it is. You know how big the competition is, how great it is. And I would say, you know, I believe, I have faith, and I'm going to be persistent and work, you know, be persistent and work your work at your craft. You have to rehearse. You have to practice. You have to improve. You have to keep doing what you do. That would be my advice. To keep working at your craft, be persistent, and be get yourself out to be heard as in as many places as you can. I used to play my guitar at the bus stop.
Oh, wow.
When I was in high school.
Oh, wow.
One of the ways that Patrice Rushen and I hooked up is I had gone to UCLA to, I was just sharing this recently with a friend. I'd gone to UCLA for the jazz week. I'd taken my guitar on the bus. I was just out of high school. It was an hour-long ride on the bus. And I went to see Joe Paz, who's a jazz guitarist, but I thought it was hands-on workshop. And it wasn't. It was a lecture. So in halftime,
right,
when the break came, somebody said, well, you should go next door and you should, you know, see the sister over there. She's bad. So I sat at the back of the room with my guitar and listened and was inspired and was impressed. And so this friend of mine said, you want to meet her? And I said, yeah. So she took me up to meet Patrice. And I had my guitar. And Patrice said, you play that? I said, yeah. She said, take it out and play something. So I took it out and played one of my original songs. And she gave me her number. She said, we exchange numbers. She said, if you ever need any help, just call, give me a call. And when I worked on my first demo, I called her.
Wow.
And the interesting thing is most of the people who worked on my demo, they were professionals and worked with Patrice. So it was just amazing. I'm very thankful. And, you know, on Tuesdays, I'm going to start doing my live stream, continue to do my live stream on Tuesdays.
Yes, please do.
Backyard,
oh
with Sherry Brown. Our backyard.
I love it. I mean, when you did
Thank
one
you.
Of my songs, I was at work. And so
really?
I was like, oh, yeah, and so I was on my break, and so I was like, oh, my grandma, let me go check her out. So I was like, so I saw you, and then when you did that song, when you did that Can't Live Without Love,
wow,
I almost dropped my phone. And I
said, oh my God.
I mean, that song is like a real impact in my life because it's heartfelt. And I felt it when you were writing it. Excuse me. And so, you know, that's what I love about your music. That's why I'm going to keep saying
thank
it.
You.
This is in these times. And, you know,
thank you. And
I hope that you keep on doing this. I mean, because I tell artists, you never can retire. If you still have the voice, you can't stop. And, you know, I was like, me and Bernadette had, Bernadette Cooper, me and her had this talk too.
Uh-huh.
She said, why should I retire? If I'm here on earth and I still can write, I still want people to know who I am, you know.
That's right.
Because if you have the equipment, the substance, everything that's in front of you, there's no holding back. There's no excuse. And the thing is, it's platforms now as artists because it's like a freedom of control. So you could put out a single. You could put out a video. It's platforms now as independent artists that you could do this stuff. It's not, you're not under a label. So it's kind of like people I know still have that mentality that I'm still under a label.
Because that makes me, you just hit on something that I want to share very quickly. This new album, right?
Mm-hmm.
The blessing for me is to be able to work with these young folks that admire and respect me and what I do. And so there's going to be new artists that you're going to be on the lookout for. Maya Nicole, that's my daughter, and Ryan Pierce, Sarah the artist, and my niece, and Kevin Thomas Johnson, my nephew. When you hear Revels is my son, and these young musicians that are on the album with some of more seasoned ones, they are incredible, Jay. I love everything that I do, but this is the best thing, in my opinion, that I've ever done. And it's people like you and those who are listening and those who purchase the product and go and review and and like and go online and do the social media stuff that make the difference, especially for artists now like me, who's an independent artist now. And you're right. It's like I told somebody, a friend of mine, a number of my friends are retiring or have retired, and I'm like, retirement? What is that? I'm a full-time, 100 years old.
Right.
Right. And so as long as God gives me, you know, the blessing and the tools to be able to do that. And so, you know, check out this new single, I Choose Love. It's on iTunes. It's on all of the platforms.
I love that single. I'm so mad. I forgot to put it on here to load up. I'm so mad.
Well, you can do it another time. Just keep playing it and it's this, you know, all over the world. What do we really need? It's love.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lyric. You know, some say it's hope, others say it's joy, but I say it's time to choose love. And it's not the have or have not. That's why it's time to choose love.
Exactly.
And you know what? Right now, with what we're going on, it's not about the have and the have not, because this is affecting everyone across the board. And this is the time we should be loving more. And when this is over, to continue that love, to just change, you know. We have to look for the brightness in this, in the midst of this darkness, you know.
Right, exactly.
Don't get me started.
Oh, don't get me started, because, you know, we could go in a church sermon over this, because I already know. I'm already knowing, because a lot of times, and I tell people, don't get discouraged. Everything is temporarily. The only thing you wanted to change for your sake is to be happy. Not let what this cloud is hovering, because like they said, clouds change, clouds go away, sun comes in. So stop living in the darkness. Continue to be the light, because everything is just temporarily. And that's why when you talk, like I listen to everything you say, I mean, it's very enforceable. It's from the heart. Like I said, everything is heartfelt, that whatever you said. And it's not through music, because the conversations that I hear you say, I mean, you are the beacon of hope to me. I'm serious. Yeah, definitely, because of what you say, because we need these words. We need inspiration. We need inspiring sayings.
Right, because you know what else I've got to mention? I've got to mention, because you, oh, my gosh, you're talking about the beacon of hope. I've had having this conversation. There's another featured artist called Naila. Her name is Naila Porter, major singer. We co-wrote a song called Beautiful Girl. It's major. There's another singer, Patrice. Her name is Patrice Lorraine, and she and I do a duet called We Can Make It. It is, you know, all over the world, We Can Make It. And these are things that were written before what's going on now.
Right.
You know? So, you know, I just, as you're talking, you're making me remember some of the other elements that are important to mention for me in the project, because, you know, I've been working on it so long. So sometimes I forget things, but those are very, very important, important things. And then I'll reach out to you when the music video is ready.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Choose love. And
you know,
let you know when we're going to premiere it.
I'll definitely be ready.
Yeah,
so
I appreciate you.
We're
man.
Out of time, Sherry.
That was fun. That was
yes, definitely. Yes, I know. And this was like an hour too. Definitely.
Oh,
I really appreciate you. We're gonna definitely keep in touch. Definitely.
Yes, please.
And
keep doing what you're doing, Jake. Keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you. And you guys, pick up the single on all digital platforms. I Choose Love, coming soon from her upcoming album, Messages from the Spirit, the Collective. And I'm looking forward to this project. Anything this woman puts out, I get, because that's how much she's a beacon of hope musically for me. I mean, she's the truth, you guys. So, you know, support, and you guys just be safe out there. And Sherry, I will be supporting you, and, you know, anything
that
you want to talk about, you know, a question. I actually, when this album will come out, I'm actually put you back on the show. So we're gonna have a listening
okay,
party.
You got it.
Actually, yeah, we're gonna have
okay,
a listening
yeah.
party.
Well,
yeah,
that'd
definitely for this. Definitely,
yeah.
And so we could probably drop in some people that worked in on the album too with it too. So
yeah,
we're gonna
that'd
keep this
fun.
A little
yeah.
top secret thing. So you be on the lookout for
yeah,
that.
Yeah, well, that'll be awesome.
Yeah,
yeah.
definitely. Definitely. So
I love it, man. I love everybody. I just send out some love, 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 love. Let it be bouncing off of your phones and your computers and
yes,
laptops.
Feel it. Feel it.
Tablets. That's right.
And I thank you guys for listening to Soul Crazy Radio and my guest, Sherry Brown. Guys, please go into her catalog and her stuff. You guys will, I'm telling you, she's the truth. I'm telling you, she is the
thank
truth. Thank
you.
Thank you guys for listening again. I will see you later next week, same place, same time. Peace.
Peace.